Let's stand. Colossians 1, 15 through 20, and it's a good one. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Be seated. I heard a story the other day. It goes something like this, and you know it's a preacher story, because it starts with, there was a guy. But there was a guy on top of a roof, and he was doing some repair work when suddenly he slipped on a loose shingle. And when he slipped on the loose shingle, the man began tumbling down the side of the roof, and just as he was about to go over the side of the roof, he grabbed onto the gutter. And there he was with both hands holding onto the gutter, feet dangling two stories in the air. And if you get a little bit of picture of Clark Griswold and Christmas Vacation, then you're tracking with me. So this man, as he's holding on, is trying to figure out what to do next. And so the man in desperation cries out to the heavens, if anyone is up there, I could use just a little bit of help. And just as the man said it, a voice from heaven came down from above and said, have faith. Turn loose. The man hanging on to the gutter looked down at the ground two stories, looked back up and said, is there anyone else up there to help? I think we've all been there at some point, haven't we? And Paul, in his first few verses of this text, and as we've been reading this text, has been moving the people of Colossae toward a life that is completely in Christ. And that a faith in Christ is enough. Paul spoke in these first 14 verses of a transformation that's taken place through the waters of baptism for the people in the community. Paul speaking of a people who have moved from one kingdom to another. They now live in a new power, the power of Christ. And Paul continues to say that is enough. But, and as we've seen, there always is a but. You're going to have to let go. And I think that's where it gets hard. Because it's tempting to want to keep holding on to ourselves at the center. It's tempting to want to keep holding on to something else at the center. And that's where this whole word we've heard many times, and it may be a little bit cringy now, comes into place. That word supremacy. It's been used a lot of different ways over the last few years. It's been used not in a lot of good ways over the last few years. And here's the thing, when something, whatever that something is, becomes more important, finds it to be in the center of your life, then that something has a way of taking control of us, or yes, even a group. It has a way of taking supremacy. It has a way of even usurping or conflating itself or joining itself with Jesus. And that thing begins to root itself more and more in our center, and it becomes our controlling aspect of life. We see things through it. It has a way of telling us how to live. So like the man hanging on the gutter, we say, I gotta let go of what? Is there anybody else up there for help? Because here's the thing. When we do find something else at our center, it has a way of becoming the most important. And that thing gives warrant for our actions and our words. And yes, even how we treat people. We might know it as a different word, but I felt like I should use the Old Testament word, idolatry. Plain and simple, the Old Testament word, it's idolatry. And whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, we are all fighting against those things in the world which are vying for our center. Paul calls it the powers and principalities. They whisper to ourselves and say, what you have in the middle is not enough. You need something else. You're not loved enough. You're not special enough. You know what? You don't have enough. And when that happens, when the power of principalities, when their whispers take over us, we tend to find other people to blame for all the problems. But what really is going on in our life, and Ben brought this up in a class a few weeks ago, it's this idea that we all have a hole in our heart, and we're all trying to fill it. And if we all just keep trying to fill it with all kinds of other things to make it our center, have you ever noticed you never can fill it? It's got this insatiable appetite. As humans, we're looking for something to be our center. We're looking for something to be supreme. And this is where this text of Colossians 1, 15 through 20 steps in. This is where the text actually disrupts our center. And if in this moment we have something else at our center, challenges that center. Because here Paul will speak to a church that is dealing with this idea that maybe they need Jesus plus something else to really know God. That somehow Jesus is not enough. That Jesus is not supreme. That they need something else at the center of their life. And so in Colossians 1, 15 through 20, Paul is dispelling any ideas or talks of being able to access God or know God better than someone else or be better than someone else by doing something else, by having a different kind of knowledge or secret words or whatever you want to know. Jesus is not enough for some of the members of the Colossians. And here in Colossians 1, 15 through 20, Paul pushes back against all of that. Paul says in this text as we go forward, our life and our faith is rooted in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. What I mean is this passage, which many believe to be something that the early Christians sang, calls us back to our ultimate center. It calls us back to that which should be supreme in our life. Because, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when the center moves, when the center shifts just a little bit, the world shifts with it. When we add something to Jesus, or when we allow something else to share the place of Christ, then life becomes more chaotic. When our center shifts, our attention and love shifts as well. And the poet William Butler Yeats, in his poem, The Second Coming, as he was speaking about the events that just happened in 1919 of World War I, which you know it was bad because it was a world war. The poet Yeats said this as he was trying to kind of understand it. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. The best lack all convictions, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Because for Yeats, World War I changed the entire landscape of the world. He saw a world holding on to now a spirit which is broken peace. And when the spirit became kind of the center of the idea, then what he saw was, in this very first line, the things fall apart and the center cannot hold. What was loosed on the earth was the death of innocence, as he will say. War, fire, and death became the mantra and way of life. In one part of this, he says, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tie is loosed and everywhere. The ceremony of innocence is drowned. And then we have Colossians 1, 15 through 20, in which in this one six-verse text, notice all the pearls Paul gives us. Christ is the image of God, the firstborn of all creation. All things, and we'll look at that word all, thrones, dominions, rulers, and powers were created in and for him. All things hold together in Christ. He is the head of the church, the firstborn of resurrection. The fullness of God dwelled in him. Reconciliation is found in him, and peace came through his life. And it's that one verse in verse 17, the verse right in the middle of this passage that I'm holding on to this morning. Christ was before all things, and in him all things were created through him and for him. And in the previous verses of 15 and 16, as it focuses on Christ's role at the very beginning, and we notice that all things, there's that word all, were brought into existence. The best I can tell you is think of John 1:1, in the beginning was God. And we see in the later verses of 18 and 19, we see this focus of Christ's role in redemption, this death and reconciliation. All things find reconciliation and peace through Christ's actions on the cross. So in this hymn, we have both the beginning of creation and the end. And in the middle, Paul says in verse 17, all of this is being held together by Christ. Christ is the very center of all of creation, and it is in the life of Christ that creation finds its existence and peace. And as the theologian Douglas Moo says, and I like how he says it, he says, the universe owes its continuing coherence to Christ. Without Christ, Paul is inferring, their universe would not be understood or held together, that chaos would reign. So don't tell me Yeats wasn't on to something with his poem in 1919, or that he saw something others didn't. Because what Paul gives us in this for us to hold on to is a picture of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. You get this idea of chaos, right? And then all of a sudden, what does it say? It says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Out of God's spoken word, John 1:1, the word, all things found meaning. All things found purpose. Think also Adam and Eve. In the beginning, they had meaning. They had purpose. Remember what the serpent offered Adam and Eve? You can be at the center. You can be at your own center because you'll be like God. The serpent offered them something else at their center, and what do we see from that moment on? Chaos is loosed in the world. What Paul is making here, Colossians 1, is a bold and audacious statement. Paul is saying that in the person of Jesus, in the very flesh of Jesus, in the life in which we witness through the Gospels, in which those witness through him in the first century, that is where purpose and meaning is found. That all creation, all of us were created in that person of Christ. And at least seven times in the passage, we read this descriptor all, as Paul says. All things is under Christ's supremacy. All for Paul encompasses everything that you would think. All things mean all things to Paul. There is nothing, no ruler, no principality, no structure, no empire, and no power which is outside of Christ's authority and rule. Christ being is enough. Christ being should be center. Christ being is supreme. Therefore, Christ is supreme over them all. And so what Paul is revealing to the Colossians and to us about Christ is something in which over the last 2,000 and plus years has been in direct conflict, because the world continues to say there is another center besides Jesus. The world is continuing to say, we want to sit on the throne of your heart. We want to be at the center of your heart. It is when those power structures decided after Adam and Eve that were created through Jesus, those power structures moved beyond their center, in which they try to become gods themselves. If faith in Jesus means faith in another idea, and that idea causes us to cause harm, to exclude, to say ugly words to someone else, then there may be a problem with our center. Because this is what idolatry does. Idolatry is more than just putting a statue up in your house. It is giving faith and value to something beyond Jesus. It is giving that something priority in your heart. It is giving that something the center of your heart. And it's amazing how easy it is to move away from center. It's easy for us as humans to find other things to make supreme in our life. We've seen it happen in a lot of lives, have we not? We've seen a lot of marriages fail. We've seen a lot of parent-child relationships collapse. We've seen a lot of friendships fall when something else becomes center. We've seen friends' lives move into chaos. We've even seen our own lives, if we're honest, move into chaos when something else finds its way to become supreme. When all of a sudden we say Jesus plus something else. When Jesus just doesn't feel like enough. And don't think that any of us are immune from it. The temptations are good. Fear is good at what it does. Desire is great at what it does. Power is probably the best thing because it knows exactly how to get inside of us. Each of these motivations can and have been twisted by the earthly powers and principalities. And when these things are twisted just the slightest, they make themselves the enemy of the Christian faith. They make themselves the enemy against us. It's never Christ plus something else. It's just Christ. It's the life of Christ. And in the life of Christ, we see the agent through which all things find meaning and purpose. You want to find your meaning and purpose? Go back to Christ. You want to find your value? Go back to Christ. You want to find your importance? Go back to Christ. It's not in something else. It is Jesus that gives you all of your meaning and all of your purpose. What Christ offers for us is a way to know God. It's a way to see God in the flesh. To see Jesus is to know God. When Jesus acts, when Jesus speaks, God is at work. We see it in, I thought I had that in there, but I didn't. We see it in verse 18 when it says, all of God dwells in him. Christ is reconciler, redemptor, and peace offerer. Christ holds all things through him. And therefore, chaos cannot break through. What Paul is saying, that Christ as your center brings the way of God into more focus. Christ at the center brings proper perspective to the powers and principalities of the world. When Christ is at your center, we see those things that strive hard to take a supremacy in the place that they should be, subservient to all things that Christ called us to be. And you want to know the hardest part of all this? The hardest part of all this idea of Christ-centeredness, because it sounds great, being Christ-centered. The hardest part of all this is we have to have faith and we have to let go. You have to have faith that what Paul is saying, that Jesus is supreme, is good and true. And enough. And in that, are you able to let go? Let go of your biases and trust that a person of Christ, the person that we follow, is enough and is supreme over everything. Our security, our meaning, and purpose are found not within the power structures of this world, but in the one who all things were created in and four. And so the question to us today is, what will our lives look like with Christ at the center? And the harder question is, what must we let go of in our lives? Is Christ enough? Is Christ supreme? Is Christ supreme in your heart, or is it just a nice catchphrase? That's hard, because I think a lot of times we're the guy hanging on the gutter saying, anybody else got an answer? Maybe something easier. How about just a ladder? And Jesus says, if you have faith in me, you can let go because nothing can stand against you. We got to believe that's good enough. We got to believe that is the way for us as Jesus people to be. And if we can, that is foundational, earth foundational, not just life, like creation foundational shattering. Changes the ballgame. But first, you got to let go. And maybe if you're honest with yourself, there's something you're holding on to. Maybe if you're honest with yourself and you look at your life and you're thinking, why is there so much chaos? Maybe there's something else sitting as the supreme in your heart. Maybe Jesus is just off to the right side, but not quite in the middle. Or maybe you're looking for meaning and purpose and value, and you've been looking for it, and Jesus is that one. Because you were created in and through Jesus. If you have any needs, any questions, I'll be up front. We'll have elders up front, but come now as we stand and as we sing.